And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's sermon is going to be on Hebrews chapter 13. Christopher read it so nicely a few moments ago. And it's the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. 13 chapters in the book. Jewish author, we know not the name of the author, but written to a Jewish audience. Hebrews quotes a lot of Old Testament over and over that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Messiah. But I want us to hear from Hebrews 13. This chapter is called in many Bibles the concluding exhortations. And what I want to be very clear about this is, as Lutherans, we talk about the difference between the law and the gospel. The law is the commandments of God. The gospel, the promises of God. The gospel is always so sweet, of course, right? That Christ loves you, died for you, renewed you, has saved you. That's the gospel. But the law says there's things that God would like us to do, and very often we wrestle with the law, and sometimes we'd like to push the law away. I just want us to notice that the Bible doesn't do that. The law does convict, but the law more than convicts. The law shows us a positive way of living. So be very clear, you're saved by the gospel, you're saved by faith in Jesus the Christ and no other way, right? You're saved by Christ, his sacrifice, his dying for your sins. That's your salvation. And having said that, then some people would say, well, we should never talk about the law again, just preach the gospel only. And here it is in Hebrews, Hebrews 13, I counted it up, 16 verbs that say, do this. I want to let's be very, very clear. You are not saved by doing those things, right? You're saved already. You are the people of God. You're baptized children of God. Your salvation is there. Or I should point to the font. Your salvation is right there. But having been saved, I want us to hear the 16. This is what he says. Love each other. That seems simple, doesn't it? Well, not always, right? Not always. Love each other. Entertain strangers. I love the verse. Entertain strangers. Some of you have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison. And we often label such people. They're not nice folks like us. Remember those in prison, he says. Keep the marriage bed pure. The Bible gets specific about stuff like that. You belong to Christ. That means something about our marriages. Don't be a lover of money. I know we need money to function, but don't fall in love with it. Remember those who speak the word, that's those who preach. Imitate their faith. Not that they're perfect, but hopefully a role model a little bit. Avoid strange teachings. Are there strange teachings around? Many. It's your job as a Christian to know the word and to compare everything we hear. Is that true? Is it not? Be strengthened by grace and not by ritualism. Did you catch that? It's not just the doing of the stuff. It's not just the formalistic motions that you go through. Be saved by grace. Receive the sacrament. That's in there. Be at church. Receive the sacrament. Bear the disgrace of Christ. None of us likes disgrace. But the Lord was hated by the world. We will be. Look for the city to come. The Bible says that over and over again. This is not the final reality. Look for the city to come. You belong to God now, but you will be in heaven. Offer God a sacrifice of praise. That's what we're here to do, to sing his praises and to lift him up. Remember to do good. There it is. Just remember to do good. And there again, our nature will want to say, but that's not the gospel. No. The gospel is you're saved by faith in Christ, but then having been saved, the Bible says, remember to do good. To do good to who? Anybody you meet? I always love number 15, make your pastor's job a joy. I just want to be clear, I did not write the text. I'm just mentioning it to you. That's in the Bible. Remember to make your pastor's job a joy. And I love the last one. The writer of the book says this, pray for us. Pray for us. It's important to pray for our leaders. Now, I say, wow, that's law. It is law. I want to jump back to Hebrews chapter 1 just for a little bit, just because Hebrews 13 is the last chapter of the book. The last 4 weeks we've been reading in Hebrews, and whenever I go to Hebrews, I always think of the first couple verses of the book. They're very powerful, and so this morning I'd like us to look at them. Bearing in mind, how many things did I talk about there? 16 Read that chapter. Look at that again. Say, I'm a baptized child of God. I belong to Christ. I'm renewed by Christ. How shall I live? That's what it's saying, right? How shall I live? Those are 16 good points. I want us to hear these first verses from Hebrews chapter 1. I want to read just the first three. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Those are wonderful words. Again, we do not know the author. We know that it was a Jewish author writing to a Jewish audience to convince them that Jesus is the Christ. But I want us to look at several of the phrases, opening phrases. He says, in the past, God spoke to our fathers. When did God speak? In the past. Now, here's what I want to say about that. A lot of people will say, the Bible is an old book. It must be irrelevant by now. The other possibility is to say that the Bible is an old book, and it is full of the human experience and God's action. Is everything new always smarter? The answer is itself. Is everything new always smarter? In the past, God spoke to our forefathers. Who's he talking about? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David. Did God speak to those men? He did. Nobody can say, oh, those are Jewish forefathers. Guess what? If you're a Christian this morning, you've been grafted into Israel. Are those Israel's forefathers? Yes. Are they the forefathers of the church? Yes. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers how? The prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Malachi. How much is in the Old Testament about Jesus? Lots. His birth, his virgin birth, his sinless life, the raising of the dead, the healing of the sick, all the things that Christ has done, right? All over the Old Testament. You can draw a picture of Christ from the Old Testament. He's spoken through the prophets. I love this phrase. And at many times and in various ways. Does all the Bible read exactly the same? It does not, right? There's prophecies, there's poetries, there's narrative, there's parable. Sometimes people say, this kind of it is hard for me. This part is easier for me. Well, we read it all, but some parts do connect to any of us. But I want us to get this. There's something for everybody. Not everybody loves poetry. Some people love poetry. Right? So it's like he's spoken in many times in various ways. And I want to catch this. In the past, he spoke to our forefathers in many ways, many times, various ways, through the prophets. The total change here, I want us to hear this. In these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. You see the step up? God has spoken through the prophets. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, those are men of God. God spoke through them. How has he spoken now to the church? Through Jesus the Christ. What a wonderful thing, what a powerful thing for us that God has spoken to us in his Son. The words of Jesus are in this book for us. The Lord Jesus has come, born of a virgin, sinless life, and spoke. Interesting phrase, he says, in these last days he's spoken to us through the Son. Many people hear the phrase the last days and they're thinking the end of the world. I want us to catch this in Hebrews chapter 1, the last days, that phrase, happened when Jesus came to this earth. All the things that God had done before Jesus came to the earth, and ever since that time we're in the last days. God doing the last thing in the work of his church. And then he says some things about Jesus. Jesus is the heir of all things, crucified, risen, and he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And it says that he made the universe. All these in the first couple of verses. And by the way, in my Bible, my English Bible, they break all this up into multiple sentences. In Greek, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4 are all one sentence. In Greek, you are allowed to do a run-on sentence. You know, remember when your teacher used to correct you about that? In Greek, you do run-on sentences. But in this one sentence, all these things, God's working in the past, God's speaking now, he's working through the Son, that the Son has made all things. The Bible says it since Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, what? God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible asserts that ever thereafter. And I know the world loves to attack us there. We've mentioned it, of course, in other sermons. But trust me, read, study, the more you look at it, the worse atheistic evolution looks. I want to mention, I always love this quotation from Werner Heisenberg. Some of you know this guy. His name sounds like a scientist, doesn't it? Werner Heisenberg says that the first gulp from the natural sciences will turn you into an atheist, but at the bottom of the glass, God is waiting for you. I always love that. You learn a little and people start to doubt. You learn a little more and say, there's a God, and he made all the beauty and the complexity. And he says, Jesus is the radiance and the representation of the Father, the divinity of Jesus, the Savior. And the next phrase it says is he offered purification for sins. We're in the first sentence of the book, and he can't stay away from talking about Jesus, the Savior. That's a wonderful thing, right? The next verse says that Jesus is greater than the angels, and that's what the rest of Hebrews is about. Jesus is greater than angels. Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than the priests. Jesus is greater than the Old Testament sacrifices. He's talking to a Jewish audience that was almost offensive, I'm sure. But how is Jesus greater than those things? He's the only Son of God. He's the God-man. He's the one who's divine and took on human flesh. He's greater than the angels. The angels are messengers, but who are they coming to talk about? The Christ. He's greater than Moses. Someone would have said, Moses, the lawgiver, yes, but Jesus brought the gospel. Greater than the priest, yeah, the priest worked for God. They weren't God. Better than the Old Testament sacrifices, but all those lambs offered on altars, they were pointing to the one lamb who is coming to take away the sin of the world, right? The one lamb. Jesus is greater than all those things. Jesus is the Savior, no one else. That's what Hebrews is about. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, but in these last days, he's spoken to his Son, who is God, who has purified us from sin. Jesus is the Savior. Last couple of weeks, I just want to just real quickly mention chapter 11. Remember that Faith Hall of Fame? We read that long chapter that mentions Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, all those people. And then it says, by faith they were saved, by faith they were saved, by faith they were saved. You read that chapter, pretty soon you get the idea. You know how you're saved? By faith. It says it 20 times, I think. But I love this. Hebrews 11, faith. Hebrews 12, therefore. You know how therefore it always looks back, right? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So we don't talk just about the history. But I love to look at, I'm going to mention some of the names from Hebrews 11. He says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Which witnesses? Well, all the saints before us, but Hebrews 11 names some. I want to say what the ones that are listed there. We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Which ones? Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, Jacob. This is one of my favorite ones. It's literally in Hebrews 11. Moses' parents. You know, the Bible doesn't say their name, isn't it funny? Hebrews 11 is listing the great people of the past. It says Moses' parents, and then it says Moses, and then it says Rahab. I love that the Bible mentions her, if you know who she is. It's a wonderful text that she's mentioned in the great list of the saints. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, all of them, then what? Let us run. Let us run, see. Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than Abraham. Jesus is greater than every person you've met. Jesus is greater than the law. Jesus is greater than the Old Testament sacrifices. Jesus fulfills all those things. We are not doing away with the Old Testament, right? The Old Testament precedes Jesus. The Old Testament points to Christ. But in Christ, God has done a new thing. You are saved by faith in this one. No one else, right? No one else. You read the Old Testament, list all these things. Nobody but Jesus fulfills them. If it's not Jesus, I always like to say, if it's not Jesus, then who? The answer is, it's Jesus. Now, saved by faith, how shall we live? Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Loving each other, remembering to do good, entertaining the strangers, keeping the marriage bed pure, not loving money, remembering those who speak the word, imitating their faith, avoiding strange doctrines, there's a lot of it around, strengthened by grace, receiving the sacrament, bearing the disgrace of Jesus, looking for the city to come, offering God a sacrifice of praise, remembering the good, making your pastor's job joyful, and praying for one another. I have to say that. Right? It's a wonderful chapter. Hebrews 13. Not saying earn your salvation. Not saying earn your salvation. Saying you're saved. Jesus has come to fulfill the word of the Lord. Jesus has come to fulfill the word of the Old Testament. And he has come to also make a difference in our lives. God grant it. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.